Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast. You can find out more about our church on the program notes or at prairieoaksbaptist.com. Thank you so much. God bless. Let's get to the sermon. I asked the Lord, what do you want me to preach? And he said, we'll pick up where you left off. So we're going to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. And it was long enough back that I had to remember where I had picked, where I'd left off to know where to pick up. But you know, we were talking about there in chapter 5, we did a lesson on, you know, you've been called to liberty, but do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. All the law fulfilled in this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And I guess that goes along with, you know, that's what God's put us in family for, is to love one another. And like I said, I felt loved and appreciated with the prayers and messages and the food and that. And I know we do that beyond just for the preacher, but the preacher gets to experience it every now and then, more often than I deserve. And I'm very thankful for that. But you know, it's to continue. It starts in the house of God first. Starts among our family, with blood or with our church family, and then. But even our neighbors, you know, even those around us that we see that are in need. That's what fulfills God's commands. And yet, it's not easy to do that. And so that's where he gives us here's why it's hard. You've been born again. You've been given God's Holy Spirit to dwell within you, but you still got this old sinful nature still dwelling within you as well. And he sets it up, but in that, and so we looked through what does the flesh produce? What does the flesh work and do? And he goes through a whole laundry list of things. And some of them we'd be like, well, I would never do that. And some of them's like, oh, why did he have to say that one? Because I do that one, you know. And then if you start reading through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, you realize, well, maybe some of the ones I don't do, I do because I didn't realize it was God looking on the heart and not on the outside. And so it's real. The battle is real. He says these two are at war with one another. They have completely opposite directions that they're going. So if you ever feel like you're being torn apart and it's just an all-out fight at the end of the day you're exhausted, that's why. It's a good sign because that means that God is at work in you. Because if you just coasted through doing the things of the world, doing the things of the flesh, then that means you don't have God's Holy Spirit working within you, and that means you're headed the wrong direction. Broad is the way. Broad is the gate. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. And most are going that way. But narrow is the gate. Difficult is the way that leads to eternal life. Few there be that find it. And so, so we feel the tension. So then how do we win? Well, this is the next part in his discussion. And so we're going to look at verses 22 and go through the end of the chapter. I tell you what, I just paused for a second here. If you're able and want to, you want to stand while I read the scriptures. I don't always do that when we're outside, but boy, I don't know about you, but these chairs sometimes make me want to stand up. So Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. I need to pray. Father, we just thank you for this time together. I thank you for each one that's come out. And even as we may sweat a little and be uncomfortable, Lord, we value the time together as your people. And I pray, Lord, then that your spirit would move. And we've felt your spirit move many times in this little pavilion as we've gathered together to worship and hear your word and sing praises and fellowship and love one another. And that is of you and your spirit working within your people. And so we pray, Lord, you continue to do that work, that the lost would be saved, that lives would be transformed, that people would be drawn closer to you and to experience your goodness, Lord, your love, your peace, your patience, your mercy. We need you, O Lord. Every day, every hour, we need you. Forgive us of the many ways we fail you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior and friend, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. And so just a few thoughts on this, as I had you look through what we had done. You know, he says, walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is the works of the flesh. And so flesh versus spirit. It's that old sinful nature versus God's spirit. And so he gives us these two lists because Jesus told us you'll know a tree by its fruit. You'll know what it produces. And if I was the really clever preacher, I would have remembered to go and pick up some fruit for you and you could have seen it, you know, because I even had some on my counter because someone gave me some. But you got enough knowledge in your head here that if I was to hold up a hedge apple, you would know that's not something I normally eat, preacher. The squirrels may eat it, but I'm not eating it. Whereas if I held up a kiwi or a banana, you'd may or may not eat those, but you know that people do. That's a little more normal. Or an apple or any of those things. You know, apples in the word hedge apple, so why don't I eat that? Well, there's a good reason for it. It keeps the mosquitoes and the spiders away, but it may be because that's what it's only good for. You know, but I'm not eating it. An apple a day keeps the doctor away is what they tell me, but only if you aim it right. But here you are, you know a tree by its fruit. It's evidence of where it came from. And so I pondered on this. Paul purposefully used works versus fruit. And I think it's telling us something a little more in that the works of the flesh, it is energy expended. That word in the Greek is where we kind of get our word for energy. And it's energy expended. It's lost. It's wasted. There's a fancy word in the Old King James called dissipation for this kind of stuff. But it's something that's been dispersed and it's lost. And that's what the work of the flesh is. It may feel good in the moment. Sin has its pleasure for a season. But then it reaps corruption and death. And so these works. And it's just like the hamster on the wheel. Run, 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 run. But it's going nowhere.
Don't tell him that.
Now, don't tell him that because it keeps him out of trouble, right? I tell this silly story because you brought it up. My brother had a hamster. He would wedge something against the wheel and he'd climb up on top of the wheel. And then the hamster knew to twist the latches. And then he popped the top off and he was gone. That's why he needed a wheel that he couldn't jam and stop, evidently. But that's the works of the flesh. It just goes and goes and burns and it's lost. It's dissipated. Fruit, though. Because as I was studying, you know, I look outside my window and I got a little apple tree out there that I planted just a few years ago. And it had little tiny apples on it. It's a young tree. This is its first crop. So I'm hoping it'll get bigger and better apples and as it gets older. But just had some little tiny apples on it. But I thought about that in that I haven't seen that tree do any work all summer. Think about it. It's just sat out there. And it's soaked in the sun, and it's sucked up the water, and whatever else comes up from the roots. And it's just kept its leaves on, and it's produced these little fruit. Produce, little fruit. And I ate one of them, and they're pretty decent little apples. I was pretty tickled. But it didn't do any work. It abided in the sun. It drew from the living waters. It was planted on the rock, and it has produced fruit. The apple tree was teaching me something. You see it now? And that's what Paul, I think, is getting at, is the works of the flesh just wear us out and leave us with less than what we started with. But if we abide in God's Word and in His living waters, Jesus said, I am the fountain of living waters, His Spirit, and just soaking in Him, then there will be fruit. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Amen. If He wasn't working in us, then we wouldn't have that desire. You'll see people of the world, they'll try to produce those fruits. They do. There's some good folks out there that don't have Jesus. But it is not what is coming natural from the Spirit, because you have to have the Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And the other thing that came along with this is, why is this the fruit of the Spirit? Well, they're the character of God. And so as we go through the list here in a little bit, you're going to see these are the characteristics of God. They were modeled by Christ as He walked the earth. They're the character of God, and they're a gift from Him to us through His Spirit. The gift of God. And we're instructed to have them, so we choose to walk in the Spirit, to allow Him to produce these in us. But when I don't have them, it's time to go back to what the tree's doing in the yard. Abiding in His Word. Soaking in Him and His Spirit. So that He can produce it in me. And so let's just kind of walk through the list here just a little bit. And I kind of challenge you that I'm going to go briefly. Believe it or not, the preacher could go briefly. But to go back through them maybe later this week and kind of search them out and think on them. But, you know, the first one is love. And love is more than a warm, fuzzy feeling. It is a sacrificial, unmerited deeds. For God so loved, He did what? Had a warm, fuzzy? No, He gave His only begotten Son. God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so He, in actions, and so He tells us the same, sacrificial, unmerited deeds of love. And then joy. It's not happiness, is it? Happiness is dependent on what's happening. But joy is a delight that comes from within. It's not dependent on the circumstances, but it's a gladness that comes from something that is eternal, which is technically a circumstance, but it's an eternal circumstance. It's not just what is right now, what is today, what is this moment. It is a joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The fruit of the Spirit includes peace, a quietness in the soul, a resting in Him. And that quietness in soul, at rest in Christ, brings harmony with others who are willing to. Even Paul said in Romans that be at peace with those that are around you as much as lies within you. Some people are just going to be at war anyways because they're at war already. Remember that fellow that in Acts was persecuting the church? He made havoc of the church like a wild animal. He was at war, on the run from Christ, until he got to the road outside of Damascus. And he realized the error of his way and surrendered to the glorified Christ. And then he had a peace that surpassed understanding, to borrow from Peter's line, even though the world then was at war with him, wasn't it? But he just continued to pursue Christ. He had peace. Miss Hawley quoted from Philippians earlier, so I'm going to go back to that verse, but I can't quote it as well as she does. But, you know, he says, think on these things. But just before that, he tells them, don't be anxious. Pray, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that work is done as we finally, brothers and sisters, think on these things. And so I pause for a second to say, yes, it is something supernatural God is doing as he produces the fruit in you, but we participate in the supernatural. That's the amazing thing about how God works, is that he then tells us, but I want you to choose to let me do this. And these are the ways you make that choice, to abide in me, to ask me to work through you. So the next one, this is another one. This is a big God one here. My translation calls it long-suffering. Some of them may translate it patience, but I don't want you to confuse it for that perseverance, endurance part of patience. But this is the slow-to-anger patience, to be able to put up with. Oh, he's gone to meddling, hadn't he? This is a work of the fruit of the Spirit, to be able to put up with, to be that slow to anger. And I think it's interesting in two ways. One is, remember in Exodus, when the children of Israel had just made this beautiful covenant with God to be his people, and he would be their God. And then Moses goes up on the mountain, disappears, and they think he's dead, and they're like, Aaron, we need an idol. And so they build a golden calf, and God is frustrated with them. Moses is frustrated with them. And in the conversation between God and Moses, Moses is like, don't give up on him. And God says, well, let me tell you what kind of God I am. I am compassionate. I am gracious. I am slow to anger. Thank God he is slow to anger, abounding in covenant love, and abounding in faithfulness. He put up with the children of Israel. So I think one of the reasons all those stories are there in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers is because God is teaching us, I'm really patient. There will be judgment, meaning there will be discipline for my children that disobey, because they got to learn there's consequences for getting yourselves into trouble. But I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to stay with you. We'll get there to the promised land eventually. He is slow to anger. And he calls us for the same. The second reason I find that interesting is that as I was doing my notes yesterday afternoon, about an hour into doing my notes, my computer crashed. And I looked and it had failed to autosave for the last 30 minutes. And so I had to go back and redo my notes. Let me tell you, I was trying to be slow to anger, but I wasn't. I was angry. The neighbors could hear me yelling. I'm pretty sure. It made me glad the dog wasn't there, because she would have got scared, because that's when I yell. But I was so angry. But cue the last fruit of the Spirit. I didn't break anything. Serious. I didn't say anything I shouldn't have. But boy, was I angry. And I'm thankful. God's working on me. But it was just that reminder. Yeah, it's a work of the Spirit. The flesh kicks in really fast sometimes. And it's like, okay, God, forgive me. Help me. I know why this trial has come. It's to teach me. It's so I can teach others. So I share the illustration with you to remind you that, yeah, it's an effort. And sometimes the Spirit's work is to mitigate the disaster of when the flesh starts running. And it's like, and he puts up the curbs and the guardrails, and it doesn't go as bad as it could have. Because I really wanted to throw a chair across the room, but I didn't. I just picked it up and put it down very harshly. Mm-hmm. It's still in its original form. It's still usable. And I'm sure if I were God, I would be the same frustration with me and maybe with others too. But by God's grace, he is slow to anger. He is abounding in kindness. That's one of the next fruits of the Spirit. It's those thoughtful deeds for others. And going along with his grace. Goodness. Paul's almost duplicating terms here, but this one goes a little farther than kindness in that it's that generosity to the benefit of others. But it's that generosity. Faithfulness. When we went through Exodus 34 a minute ago, that was the one that God finished with. I am faithful. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, right? We don't have to worry about God waking up on the wrong side of the bed and zapping someone that day, because he's constant. There is no shadow of turning. I think we even sang that song this morning. But it's from the scriptures. He is faithful. And in that, he is faithful to his promises. He's steadfast. He's trustworthy. He's reliable. And he calls us to be the same. Now, I know some translations just use the word faith. And that's one of the nuances of, oddly enough, the Hebrew and the Greek, is that word. You kind of have to read it in the context to know what's going on there. But in this case, it is a gift that God gives us faith, no doubt about it. But that faith calls for faithfulness, to be trustworthy, to be reliable. And that's what Paul is getting at here in this. That's a fruit of the Spirit, that as we've trusted, as we have faith in God, it grows our own faithfulness as he is faithful to his promises to us, as Clyde taught us in Sunday school with the story of Abraham and Sarah. And then gentleness. It's that, I like the old translation there, the meekness. It's having strength, but it's not for oneself. It is for others. Because you're reminded of the old draft horses. They were considered meek when they were trained to work. They were full of strength. But it wasn't for their own wandering and destruction, but it was to work the farm. And when a horse had been meek, it loved to pull the plow. And so God calls us not to promoting self, but in humility to be, well, allowing the fruit of the Spirit to put others before self. It isn't a matter of thinking less of yourself, but it is to think of yourself less, if that makes sense to you. And then the last is self-control, temperance maybe. But self-control is a lot more convicting. It's victory over those sinful desires. It's finding the guardrail, letting the Holy Spirit's guardrail stop me before I go plunging off the edge. But it's a mastery of those desires. It's not an elimination of those, but it is not acting on those. And so these are the fruit of the Spirit. And the word in English is always a little vague that way because fruit is both plural and singular. But this is a singular word in the Greek. This is the one thing, the fruit, that the Holy Spirit produces in His tree, in you and I. And so we go back to the apple tree as we abide in His Word and soak in Christ and drawing on the river of the waters of life and His Holy Spirit, then we produce fruit. Amen. Amen. And so, against such there is no law. It's almost, after all the talk about the law in Galatians, you still forget that that's what he's been talking about all along. It says, this is what fulfills the law. You're wanting to be legalist about these things, but here let me tell you what really being one who fulfills the law looks like, and it's these things here. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who are in Christ, they've been crucified with Christ. It's not me who lives. Remember Galatians 2:20? It's not me who lives, but Christ in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm motivated by His sacrificial love, by His resurrection, by His forgiveness. I put to death these sinful desires. If it is war with the flesh and the spirit, then let it be war, and we'll put to death those sinful desires, those wasted efforts of the flesh. And in the place of that death, we live in the Spirit of Christ. And if we do that, then let us walk in what we live. Let us walk in the Spirit. Obey His desires. Obey His impulses. And Paul says it'll take care of that conceit, the rivalry, the stirring up strife. Instead, it'll be Christ producing within us. And so, that's where we're at. As we, well, this is my application to me. You know, I see that list. I know I'm not there yet. I even told you a story to illustrate it. But that's not the only occasion. But at the same time, it is that walk. I'm thankful I'm not what I could be. But I'm not yet who I will be. Praise God. He's a faithful God, long-suffering, at work within me. And so our song leader's coming. We're going to have a song of invitation in a second here. And isn't it amazing how that works? I am thankful for people who serve in so many different ways so that we can come together and worship. And I hope that you, as a part of the fruit of the Spirit, praying for others, encouraging those people. Because as I'm reminded, we are blessed by each participant in our church. But let's respond as the Holy Spirit prompts this morning.